Just like the Mitsubishi Triton, the Rush Hour are engineered beyond tough. Nothing can frighten a Triton. The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor on Triple M, the Rush Hour, driving you home. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Rush Hour. Triple M is our handle. Double passes to see the offspring for our best callers today, boys. How are you feeling, Jude Bolton? You have bounced into
about.
The studio today.
Up and about. I've had my coffee. We're over hump day. It's Thursday. We're ready to roll. So Thursday it should night, be a big show.
Thursday night football tonight. You'll be calling that. The Dragons hosting down in Wollongong, the Rabbitohs.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that tonight, brother.
Yeah, the Dragons are going rabbit hunting. So, yeah, looking Ooh. Forward to that. It'll be a good game. 300 games for Andrew McCullough, so, mate, massive effort. That's a 300 club. Gee whiz. Mate, respect to the boys.
Absolutely right. Tim Horne's going to join us in a moment talking about rugby union. Incredible what Australian rugby have done today. Just when you think they're on the up and up, they come up with this.
Ridiculous.
Wait till you hear what Tim Horne says around that. But what about this, boys? We've got an energy crisis, more warnings to conserve energy between 6 and 8 tonight. Between 5 and 6 tonight, we're only going acoustic. We're doing our bit.
Oh,
to
nice.
Save on power and stuff. So it's going to be nice, cool.
So they're asking to turn things off that don't need. Like
exactly, the non-essential. So if you're going to whack on the, let's say you have dinner and at 7 o'clock you normally whack on the dishwasher, just don't whack it on till 8 or 8.30 before you go to bed or something like that. Of course, if you're cold, whack on your heater, and if it's obviously for medical reasons, no drama. But it just goes to show we need to conserve. We're in a bit of a tight situation at the moment. The price of eggs is the next thing that's going to soar thanks to Woolies. Woolies are saying that farmers' eggs have gone through the roof. Same as broccoli. Apparently got a bit of a drama with tissues as well.
Crazy times. I mean, it's a stroke of genius, that chicken coop at the back now, isn't it? Look at that. I'm just pumped.
Mate, honestly, the good life, that old show from the day when they had you're basically you're a farmer now in Lane Cove.
I'm happy. I'm primary producer. Yeah, absolutely.
How much, Jude, if we got 6 eggs from you guys and had them as a prize on tomorrow's show and someone has to come in and collect those 6 eggs, what do you reckon those 6 eggs are worth?
Oh, you name your price, mate.
From your chicks.
From fresh, straight out?
Oh. Yeah, straight out of the arse tomorrow night. This evening, I should
this
say.
This evening, look out. I'm happy to, you name a price, mate. I'll put it on there.
I reckon. Okay, let's do that for our best caller tomorrow. They'll get 6 eggs.
Friday eggs.
Friday eggs, exactly right. And lettuce apparently was a drama. KFC were putting cabbage in their KFC burgers last week.
Wow. That's crazy.
If that happened to me in the drive-thru, that cabbage is going straight back on the garden and around the drive-thru.
I'll be getting a refund. I'll be getting an upgrade or something.
Exactly right. So we'll all look after ourselves and let's try to get through this crisis. It's only going to be for a short time and it is chilly at the moment. Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. We're talking rugby. Let's talk to this Wallaby legend.
Next guest is the best of the best in the world of rugby, or as they say in French, please update your Google Translate account settings for French translation. He's recognised as the best centre rugby union's ever seen. He played over 11 years, including 2 Rugby World Cups and 80 caps for Australia. He's a Hall of Famer and at one point hosted a show on Triple M with Matt Burke called The Ruck. So he's probably also heard Shimmer by Fuel a billion times. Please welcome Triple M, Tim Horan.
Yeah, he's an absolute legend. Always helps us out when it comes to the rugby, but we can't quite believe this one. Why would Australian rugby be thinking about walking away from Super Rugby? That's the question we're asking ourselves, and they might just do that. They're saying all bets are off from 24 with New Zealand. What are your thoughts on that, Tim?
G'day, boys. Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? It's a challenge for Rugby Australia. I think they're just throwing a bit of a hand grenade out there to see what's happening. And, mate, we need the Kiwis, they need us as well. And but we've just started a competition, 12-team competition, which has been fantastic this year. And next year, it's ridiculous. It's just, it's Hamish McLellan, the chairman, of course, just throwing a hand grenade, wanting to do the what's best for Australian rugby. But I think this competition has got a long way to go.
Yeah, mate, it certainly has. Mate, mate, you must be impressed with the Auckland Blues game and the Brumbies. They nearly got them at Eden Park, which we know it's hard to win there.
They did, yeah. Wendell, they, very close and, potentially field goal at the end from Noel Olisiu and, maybe a penalty at the end of the game. But, yeah, great performance from the Brumbies. And they've done it all year as well. They've been the best team in the competition for Australian teams. And the Reds dropped off a little bit this year. But, yeah, Dan McCullough, the coach, has done a great job.
Yeah, absolute blow up over the refereeing. 16-5, the penalty count. What were your thoughts on that? Have you had a chance to look back at that match and see if the Brumbies were sort of...
infringing in that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, went back and had a look at it, and, you know, when you look at those things, everyone, when you lose a game so closely, everyone goes back and looks at the last 2 minutes of the game, whereas you look at the first 2 minutes of the game, and the Blues probably could have got a couple of penalties in front of the post, so difficult, but yeah, I mean, the Brumbies, unlucky to lose, but, mate, great performance from the Brums. They got pretty close, but I tell you what, the Crusaders will be hard to beat in Auckland this weekend. Sold-out stadium. I think it was sold out in the first 5 hours.
Brilliant.
Tim, it was great to see the Cook Cup being renamed after Mark Eller up north. That's good in your eyes as well?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think the Cook Cup, everyone, it was a great trophy, good to drink out of. Took about 25 cans of beer. So I'm not sure what the other trophy, the Eller trophy, is going to look like, but, mate, I think in every trophy that you can drink out of is always a good one.
Mate, what have you made of RTS's switch? You know, obviously they're playing in the midfield there. I thought he'd be better served at the back, but he's. What do you think of his transition?
He's been good, Del. Yeah, I actually thought the same. I thought they'd probably put him at 15 at fullback, but he's been really good at 12. Probably helps when you're playing with a guy like Beauden Barrett, who's one of the best players in the world. So, yeah, I reckon that he's obviously in the All Black squad, and what they'll do, I don't think they'll give him a start against Ireland, but I reckon they'll bring him off the bench for a couple of games, potentially the second or third test, and ease him into it. His transition, as you know, Del, takes a bit of time. Yeah. He's been pretty sharp.
We spoke to Izzy Dagg a couple of days ago, and the day that the All Black squad was actually announced, him, and he was just saying, look, you know, we've watched him for 10-odd matches. We know his quality, but he, same as you, he just wants him into an open space, breaking ankles, because at number 12 there, he hasn't had that opportunity yet to do what we know he's done at in the rugby league game.
Yeah, it took him, as you say, probably only 10, 12 games. It took Del about 12 years, but the change out of it.
You're right, Timmy. It was harder than I anticipated, mate. Yeah, you're right.
No, I think he'll go well. He's a good player, and, you know, we haven't seen the best of him yet. And, and you get him in an all-black jersey, and, wow, you know, what can't wait to see it.
Yeah, he's an absolute quality player and individual. It's good to see him doing so well. Auckland Blues versus Crusaders, Saturday night, 5 p.m. Sydney time, on Stan, a new home of rugby. And love your work, big fella. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, boys. Can't wait to put Richie Mwanga up against Beauden Barrett. The 2 tens will be great to watch.
It certainly will. Thanks a lot, Tim. Tim Horan there, talking rugby. Watch every match of the July Test Series on the home of rugby, the new home of rugby, Stan Sport. To start your 7-day free trial, you can visit stan.com.au/rugby. Coming up next, what about board games? What about board games? Have they gone bad? Ever had a relationship get through a game of Monopoly? We'll talk about it next.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Get involved in the show, Board Games Gone Bad. This is off the back of me talking to my wife last night. After the show yesterday, we had Lee saying this.
Yeah, my late mum, she was a Scrabble champion, mate. No one in the family could beat her in her 80s. One of the grandsons brings a bride to be around to meet Nan, you know, to do the right thing. So they're having a game of Scrabble. My mum's got 3 tiles left and she's beaten them all. And then, you know how you can build on the side of a letter? Well, she spots a C and on the side there's a triple word score. So she's put her 3 tiles down. The last one was a T.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Granny bringing out the C word.
Yeah.
To take the victory
over the dictionary.
Exactly. She settles in the dictionary, and it was, and she won it. So I spoke to Vix about that, and she was laughing about it because she heard it live. And I said, remember the last time we played a board game? It didn't end well for our family. Jack, our oldest son, we were just at home on this particular occasion, Monopoly, and my son Jack was the banker, and he was cheating. He was taking the 500s, and it was pretty obvious. And then Abby got fired up, and they two clash anyway. So all of a sudden it was on, right? But it reminded me of going to Byron Bay with another couple of couples that we absolutely loved and adored. And one couple were about to be married. One couple had been going out for a couple of years, and Vix and I that were married, but no kids. Went to Byron Bay. Fantastic. Sort of a windy, coolish night. So we said, let's get some board games, get some drinks on board, had a barbecue and stuff. Well, a couple started arguing during that Monopoly. It continued on to the next morning, and then it sort of simmered and it was all right. But they never truly recovered. A month later, they broke up. And when I spoke to my mate, he goes, I saw a side of her that I never had seen before.
The board game.
The board game was the starting point of them just starting to get a little bit unstitched.
Yeah.
And in the end, it was all over. They're both happily married to other people now. But at the time, it was a big deal. And I'm just wondering, has anyone ever played a board game and it's ended in a nice, everyone's going, oh, congratulations, Jude. You won. You won Park Lane and Mayfair. Congratulate. Like, it's always a nightmare.
Yeah, my daughters, like, they're so competitive. And I'm trying to just make sure
they've got your competitive straight.
Yeah, but we're just trying to play and have fun. I'm trying to coach them into that, but they're super competitive, and then they just needle each other, and sure enough, there's a board's been flipped, or there's accusations of cheating and things like that. It's like, come on, please, they're here for fun. I love Sequence. I love a few other board games.
Well,
and things
Pictionary
like that.
Too, and when the time is on and people are like, time's up. Yeah, I say, no, it's not.
And
other people are blowing up. What's that? Yeah.
You gave them more time.
Cluedo and all that stuff. I just do not know a game where you play it and it ends up having fun. So let's throw it out there on 133353. Alex on the Central Coast, when has a board game gone wrong?
Jude, Del, White Ant, myself and the wife basically have an agreement that whenever we play board games, we are not in a relationship. Anything that happens in the board game is completely within the game. As soon as we finish, that's it. It's left there. But no matter what disagreement with the rules or whatever.
Very hard to go back, though, when
that's
something's
good,
happened.
I like that, mate. That's good. Strong.
And it saves a lot of problems and it saves a lot of arguments.
No holds
barred. Beautiful. Good on you, mate.
Board games.
Oh. Play to win.
Good on you, Alex. What about Kylie? G'day, Kylie.
Board games are now banned from our household after my observation of my stepson and my partner's first game of Monopoly that ended up with my stepson throwing the board because his father had cheated and then scissor kicking him to the groin area.
Oh, yes.
Scissor kick to the groin.
That's, beautifully done,
that's
Kylie.
That's fair enough.
We can just see that happening, and that's happening in every house in and around Christmas time as well with these board games.
Very
what about Sharon? G'day, Shaz.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Good, thanks. What's happened?
So mine's a Monopoly story, and I actually dislike Monopoly enormously, but, you know, games, family, all my life. Sitting down one night, mum and dad, my husband and me, playing a game of Monopoly. I wanted this particular house that my husband had, and he was like, well, you know, maybe we could work something out later in the bedroom kind of thing. And I was like, deal, Dunsky, and mum's like, no way, that's not fair. Chuck the shits big time, lift it up. Literally upended the whole table that we were sitting at and just totally walked off. And, man, it was so classic. It was just hilarious.
That's
beautiful. Like, Sharon, what happened in... No, we won't ask you what happened.
Yeah. Offering the favours.
Bedroom later.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's never been offered
that's
up as part of the deal.
That's never been part of that. Look out.
No, look out. What about Rebecca and Caranbar? G'day, Beck.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank Beck. You. Tell us about the board games gone bad.
So I've got three teenage daughters, and all through the 14-year-old's life, she's loved Monopoly. So we have several different editions. And all through lockdown and stuff last year, I thought, oh, righto, we'll get the Monopoly out because there's never-ending arguments. But she won every single game, no matter what. I'm pretty good with the houses and the hotels, and she would win every single game. And then worked out, sneaky little thing, was going to all the other Monopoly set, getting all of the cash out of them and just funneling it through the game through the whole time.
Oh.
So every game she would win and come out with stacks of cash, so she's banned. Great ban from Monopoly ever
That's
again.
Great,
a life of embezzlement away.
Yeah, good on her. Fair play to her. And let's finish it off, Rob. What happened with you with the board games, brother?
G'day, mate. We had a bit of a board game many years ago up at Byron Bay as well, funny enough. And one of the games we were playing was a game called Pictionary.
Yeah,
great game.
Which you have to draw pictures to identify what the clues are.
Yeah,
and we end up drawing. My mate ended up drawing this really fat person, a skinny person, and was trying to coax everyone into what it is. It was actually a band called Fat Boy Slim.
Yes, clever.
So he pointed to me, mate. He's nice and skinny, so you know that's Slim. And then he pointed to his wife.
Oh, no.
Oh,
and,
no.
And it went downhill from there.
Yeah, rest in peace, that marriage.
Yeah. Time now to talk netball.
Our next guest is a real baller, a netballer. She's a Sydney girl through and through, so she's got to be balling in the cash to live in this city. These days, she struts around as a giant, a Western Sydney giant. Last week, the Giants secured their spot in this week's minor semi-final. Now, since when was a semi-final not a big deal? Please welcome to the Rush Hour, netballer Amy Parmenter.
Yeah, and the Giants got it done. The Swifts so close. Literally got knocked out on goal difference on the weekend when they weren't playing, just watching this game unfold between the Vixens and the Magpies. But Amy got it done. You are finishing in third position. Got a semi-final this weekend. How much are you looking forward to it?
Oh, hello. Yes, definitely looking forward to it. It was crazy last week. I think there were four teams that could all make that last final spot, so pretty stoked to be playing at home this weekend.
I mean, what do you need to do against the Magpies? Obviously, they're a super side.
They are. We've played against them twice this season, and they've both been really tough games. They've got heaps of experience in their lineup, and they've got a really tall goal shooter from Jamaica, Shimona Nelson. So I think shutting her down is probably key. And then they've got lots of speedy middies. So putting my joggers on and running really fast, I think, is what's going to get us over the line.
Amy, I keep looking at it, and the netballers, you know, you train so hard, and obviously we look at the pay wages and stuff, especially I think the Queensland women are getting paid the same as the men now. Would you like to see that improve, and how can they improve that?
Oh, definitely. I think it's just about, you know, big corporates and sponsors investing in the game. I think the more we're invested in and the more people are watching it and seeing it, that's how it's going to keep growing as a sport. I think there's so much great stuff happening in women's sport at the moment across so many different codes. So I think making sure we're watching, turning it on, talking about it, I think that's the way to keep it growing.
Yeah, I think they've done a great job this year. More people watching it than ever. What I love about the netball, I've had two girls go through it. My wife still plays, is the fact that you can't get a park anywhere, yes, anywhere near a netball field. But the simple fact is that there's so many young people playing it. There is a huge appetite for it, isn't there?
Oh, definitely. And I think it's such a unique sport because it's not in the shadow of any men's sport. It's about empowering women, and it's cool to be strong and physical. And I think that's what's really special about netball. And it is a massive community because it is, you know, generations of mums and grandmas and daughters all playing and coming together and watching on the sideline. And I think it's a really special place. So, yeah, definitely room to keep growing the sport.
Amy, what did you make of the big furor early on where the Netball Australia chose to sort of sell off the rights to the grand final and move that around to each different state?
Oh, I think it was pretty disappointing, to be honest. We weren't really consulted in the process. Mm. And that's something that I think really needs to change in netball. You know, they talk about us being the most important stakeholders, but they're not getting to have a seat at that table. So we were pretty disappointed, but it is what it is. You know, I'll take a premiership wherever I'm playing. Yeah. So I think, yeah, definitely some room for further discussions, but, you know, it is what it is, and they've made the call, and now we just have to run with it, I think.
Amy, you're a Randwick junior, so who's your rugby league team? Do you follow other sports?
Oh, I do. I'm more of an AFL girl, but I'm a Tookies fan through and through. My family are Tookies fans. So, yep, definitely Roosters, but up the Giants too.
Oh, the Giants in the AFL.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Since they've come in, were you a Swanee before that, or have you jumped on because you're a Giant to the netball?
Oh, I'm probably grew up in a Swanee's household. They're all still Swans fans. I haven't converted them yet, but, you know, seeing the boys train every week out at Giants, I think you can't help but go for them.
But, yeah, but everyone hates the Magpies, so.
Let's
get it done. No. Let's get it done.
Amy, I've always wanted to know this because when I played, I was a bit of a sledger. Is there much sledging that goes on with your girls? And is there, you know, there's people that you're up against, you're just going to absolutely bombard them?
Oh, I think there's a few sledges, but I'm usually like too puffed trying to keep up with the wing attack to say anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, maybe down the end where there's not as much running around, they probably have some stuff to say, I'd say.
Good on you, Amy. Well, best of luck this weekend. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today. And perhaps we'll talk to you next week after you take care of the Maggies.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton, Wendell Saylor here on Triple M. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Rush Hour Triple M is our handle. Australian Red Cross Lifeblood. It's donor week at the moment. When you give blood, you're more than just a donor. You're the lifeblood of Australia. Search Give Blood to book your donation. It is National Blood Donor Week. So if you can, please do that at the moment. And boys, Melbourne have beaten all other states in Australia to continue with the Formula One Grand Prix to 2035. News
no surprise
just came
there.
Through.
That's good.
Exactly. Yeah. It's been good. Most of the drivers and the teams love it in Melbourne. Yep. It's vibrant enough. International city. It works nicely. So New South Wales will have to try again because I know they tried pretty hard to get it off them. So till 2035. But I want to talk about something now that I've done with Freddie Fittler over the last sort of 6 months or so, is doing these leadership groups going into country big country regional cities like Wollongong and Bathurst and Armidale that have big universities, and actually talking about leadership and talking about winning the morning, winning the day. And that is what Freddie's really big on. And every time...
Been well received, hasn't it?
It certainly has. Thousands of school kids everywhere. And we've actually put a pack together. Everything we ask them to do, we give them something so they can practically do it the next day, so they don't have to go out and buy anything. So the first thing is, Freddie talks about going into Origin Camp and handing your phone in and just saying the only way we'll get to know each other and defend on the line and really look after each other is if we know each other, and we can only do that if we don't have a mobile phone in our vicinity. Very hard to have a normal conversation with your phone beeping, people buzzing and vibrating and people holding their hand, looking at their mobiles all the time. So
I know that feeling.
Yeah, get rid of, behave
it's
yourself.
It's a bad vice for the big man.
Yeah, exactly right. So basically, win the morning, win the day. We say to the kids, wake up every morning, but without your mobile phone in your room. Have it somewhere else in the house on charge and actually wake up with an alarm clock.
Oh, you've got to get old school alarm clock.
And the kids sort of look at you and go, alarm clock? They're not even sure what it is. But in their pack, and we open up the pack at that stage, there is an alarm clock with the batteries in it already, ready to go, and we set it all up for them. It all works. So wake up without your phone. That way you won't give the first couple of minutes to your socials or to your email or to your work. You can actually get on with what Freddie wants you to do, which is this. Wake up without your phone, go to the toilet, come back to your bed, and actually make your bed. Now, if you just make your bed, I know it's simple these days. We don't have a lot of fitted sheets and so forth. It's normally just a doona or a duvet, whatever you want to call it. So you just pull it up, pad the pillows, and away you go. At least you've ticked the box and done something in the day. You can then have the worst day, come back, and at least your bed is made. At least you've made some sort of positive start to your day. So you make your bed, and then where your mobile phone was sitting, you have a glass of water, and you sit on the bed and you just drink. You drink for about a minute or so to drink a glass of water. You can either scull it or sip it, however you do it, but just spend a bit of time sipping the water and thinking about what you're going to do the day. And then the final thing is breathing. Now, it's something that we talk to the kids about. They say, what's the most important thing in your world? And people go, family, sport, friends, that sort of stuff, my girlfriend. Well, water, food. You know what the most important thing is? Oxygen. And it's something you obviously we take for granted. So just sit on your bed after drinking the water and you just have 5 seconds in through the nose, 5 seconds out through your mouth, and you do that for a minute. So that whole process of winning the morning, winning the day, it takes about 3 or 4 minutes. You get everything done and you haven't had to deal with anyone else, but you put yourself in the best possible chance of having the best possible day.
You'd subscribe to that, wouldn't you, Del? What's your mornings like?
At the moment, I've been sleeping in. And I know through winter usually is probably the worst time for me because, you know, you just want to take some shortcuts. But I usually get up, win the morning, win the day. I haven't done it lately, and I reckon it does hinder you. It hinders your headspace. You don't feel great. You don't get up with that same sort of bounce. So you guys are on the right track, mate.
Yeah, I think so.
What about you, Jude?
Yeah, I try and do something in the morning. Like before, it feels like it's my time before the kids get up and life just really kicks into gear. So I try and get up and either get to the gym or do something, take the dog for a walk or something. But yeah, same thing. I know it is hard during this cold sort of mornings. People find that motivation.
Yeah, exactly right.
Vix wakes up with Hey Jude, doesn't she? Yeah.
She'd like to wake up with Hey Jude. There's no doubt about that. So go and win the morning, win the day. We're going to put that process up on our social. So try it for a couple of weeks and see how you go. Coming up next, ever met the Queen? Well, we'll tell you who did in this office.
Gus, Jude and Wendell, this is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Time now to talk about meeting the royals. Racing New South Wales Chief Executive Peter Volandis had lunch with the Queen at Windsor Castle on Wednesday. He was invited there by one of the racing managers for the Queen, a bloke called Johnny Warren, who's a mate of his.
Oh, yep.
And Volandis said she's an amazing lady. Have you ever met royalty, guys?
Nah, never met the Queen.
Yeah, of course. I've been lucky enough.
Yeah, of course.
Well, in 94 tour, we were lucky enough to meet the Queen there. So Kangaroo Tour, that was the last of the real iconic, Kangaroo Tour. So as a 20-year-old, it was amazing. But I probably didn't fully appreciate meeting the Queen at Windsor Castle until I was with the Wallabies. And it was quite funny because there was, me, Lottie and Matt Giddo and a couple of the naughty boys around, and we were all just, you have to behave yourself, and you just...
Where were you when you met them at the Wallabies? Was it Windsor Castle
again? Windsor Castle again. But you know what was funny is... And then the Queen, it was like morning tea and that, and she had the sandwiches and that. And sometimes when you're there and you're a bit hungry, and I was starving too, didn't have any brekkie. I had one or two sandwiches and I was just ripping into them, and then I just looked over. Next minute, I looked over and her corgis are jumping up, nibbling on the sandwiches. I didn't have any more sandwiches after that. So, because you know,
were they amazing sandwiches though before the corgis got to them?
They were amazing sandwiches. I didn't have any after that, but it was amazing meeting her. And like, even when she talks, it's like, I know it's small talk, but she does it so well. Yeah. She's the queen.
Well,
that's her job.
70 years she's been doing that small talk as well. I had the chance during the Invictus Games to speak to Harry and Megan. And Harry was impressive because Harry's Harry, but Megan was impressive, like a beautiful, beautiful woman and striking. And I think because they are so famous, we've got them up on some sort of pedestal. It means even more, or they're even more beautiful when you actually get to see them. And you feel like
a bit of an aura.
Yeah, you need to touch them to make sure that, you know, they are who they are.
So what
you're
touched,
not allowed to.
No, I mean, obviously,
you creep.
You're not even allowed to put your hand out unless they put their hand out to you, which Harry did and then Megan did as well. And he said that he'd watched the Man Up program when we spoke about that, which was amazing. Yep. So good on you, Dil. That's awesome. Meeting the Queen twice.
I've met Prince William, as I told you. I've met Kate Middleton.
Yeah. Oh, what was Kate Middleton like?
Unbelievable. I actually had dinner with her. Yeah,
just the two of you?
No, it was a team. There was Matt Burke and that Owen Finnegan, different tables. Prince William was really good. He sat at another table. And then obviously she was there. I think I told you the story. And then no one would sit in front of us. So I just said, I'll take one for the team here. So
she was beautiful as we.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable striking that English charm. Yeah.
Gorgeous.
I think she was pretty happy too, just quite
I just loved the text though that actor Brian Brown sent Volandis before he
What do you say?
He goes, make sure you tuck your bloody shirt in.
Yeah, good on you. Brian Brown, what a legend.
It's Wendell's What's on the Menu. Menu Log has what you want when you want it.
Did somebody say Menu Log?
Mm-hmm. Move over, Katy Perry, Wendell Saylor, us. He is going on, the big fella. He is having a crack at the iconic Menu Log order, and you can win $1,000. Dell will list three different Menu Log orders, and you need to correctly match the orders to the corresponding Rush Hour host to win the $1,000
on Menu Log. There's so many meals.
There
it's amazing.
Is so many meals, and also we are going unplugged in this hour between 5 and 6 because we all need to do our bit to save some electricity and power. So all songs will be acoustic. Nice and cool and groovy as you are going home in the traffic. So let's get it going on. Andrew in Riverwood is our first man on the line for $1,000. How are you, Andrew?
Oh, good, Gus. How are you?
Mate, very good. Now, Del, today it's desserts, isn't it?
Oh, it's desserts. We've changed it up. You know, we all like our food here, some more than others, especially me. So I've decided to go to something sweet. And we got three desserts for you. You ready, mate?
Yep.
Okay. Salted caramel ice cream, chocolate sundae with hot fudge and nuts, and to finish it off, a tiramisu.
Who ordered what, Andrew?
The salted caramel one. I'll go with Gus. The chocolate sundae. I'll go with Jude. And the last one, I'll go with Del.
Oh, very close. You got
unlucky. One.
Unlucky.
One right.
Okay, let's go to Rick in Lilyfield. G'day, Rick.
How's it going?
Good, thank you, mate. $1,000 on the line, all thanks to our mates at Menu Log. Who ordered what?
All right, I'm just going to go, let's go chocolate sundae with Jude, the tiramisu with Gus, and the ice cream, Wendell.
Zero.
Lucky
zero. Buddy. What about Brett in Green Point? Brett in Green Point. Three desserts. Who ordered what?
Hello, Brett.
Brett, you there? Oh, he doesn't want it.
Put Brett to the back to the bottom and let's go to Frank and Rudy Hill. G'day, Frank.
G'day, how are you going?
Your opportunity. $1,000, three desserts. Who ordered what?
Your time, mate. Step up, mate.
Okay. The chocolate sundae is Jude. The tiramisu is yourself, Gus, and the last one's the last one.
No, unlucky.
Negatory.
Ladies,
brother.
What about Craig in Campbelltown? $1,000 on the line, Craig.
Here we go.
Who ordered what, brother?
I reckon Jude for the tiramisu, you, Gus, with the sundae, and then Del with the other one.
So close.
Not a cigar.
John in Penrith, who ordered what when it came to the desserts, John?
Yep, Jude with the sundae, Del with the tiramisu, and you with the last one.
Oh, mate. Oh.
Let's go to Ty in Lilyfield. Who ordered what, brother?
Let's go with Jude with the salted caramel.
Mm-hmm.
Gus with the chocolate sundae, and Wendell with the tiramisu.
Yes!
Yes, Tom!
$1,000!
Amazing.
Somebody say... Menu log.
Yeah, menu log has what you want when you want it. Did somebody say menu log? Ty, congratulations. $1,000 cash to spend at menu log is coming your way. Congratulations. Time now for this.
Yeah. In 325 games and two premierships for the Sydney Swans,
this will be the icing on the cake.
Jude Bolton learned how to do two things really well. Tackle people. And get hit in the head really hard.
It's Bolton again.
Let's do one of those now. This is Jude Tackles.
Yeah, Jude Tackles, you fire up about something, mate. What has got under your skin this week?
So, fellas, we've all heard of the shortages that have gone on in recent months. Mm-hmm. Here in Australia, it's been toilet paper, electricity, lettuce, then staff shortages, even tampons over in the US.
Wow.
But now they're telling us there is a shortage of tissues. My goodness, this hasn't happened since that awful hay fever season Dell spent in the rugby. Don't laugh, Gussie. Your weekends away with the boys and subsequent movie marathons of You've Got Mail and The Notebook chew through a power of tissue boxes. Surely you could be making use of those cravats, handkerchiefs, or pocket squares you all wear. If you're going to save one tissue, keep one for New South Wales Treasurer and Energy Minister Matt Keane, who had his own rant when he was challenged on the energy shortage. "I always take responsibility," he said, "but let's be clear. I didn't invade Ukraine. I didn't make the generators into old equipment. I certainly didn't make the weather cold. Come on, Keeney, please." Anyway, whether it's snotty noses from the sudden seasonal change or dealing with all the crying over another bunker decision gone wrong, nothing's changed. What happened to the old bush hanky? Washing hands regularly and having sanitizer at the ready is common practice, I bloody hope. While there's no rain, let's do something to fix the supply chain. Bolton out.
Yeah. Very solid, mate. Gee, you're fired up. Coming up next, the NRL preview with Dell.
Driving home with three voices in your head. Gus, Jude and Wendell, the Triple M Rush Hour. The Rush Hour.
Time now for this.
The Rush Hour's NRL preview. Thanks to DoorDash, official delivery partner of the NRL.
Yeah, big deal. 7:50 tonight. You'll be calling it, mate, the Rabbitohs and the Dragons. What are your thoughts on this down at Wollongong?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the Dragons has just been so inconsistent. Obviously, 300 games for Andrew McCullough. That's a massive effort. You know, he's been a wonderful stalwart for the game. But I just think the Bunnies will be too good. Obviously, they haven't been clinical this year. But the Dragons always ought to take it to the Bunnies. But the Bunnies, I think, will be too good.
Looking at tomorrow night, a couple of massive games, the Seagulls versus Cowboys. But the Storm and the Broncos, how do you feel like your old boys are going to go?
Yeah, look, I think the Storm here, they've got a really good record, you know, obviously at Amy Park, but anytime they play the Broncos, they're always so confident, you know, it's always personal. Obviously, a lot of Queensland boys, you know, in and around that Storm setup over the years. And it was like when the Broncos and the Storm, it was that News Limited stuff back in the day. The Broncos are playing some great football. No Adam Reynolds. Adam Reynolds is out this weekend. This is a good one for the Broncos. Like, we know that the Broncos, everyone's saying they're a top four side now, but if you can go down to Melbourne and take those 2 points, that gives you a lot of credibility in and around the competition. So,
it's a big if.
No Pappenhausen, big if. I'm still going the Storm at home.
What about the Eels against the Roosters? No one wants to talk about it, but Parramatta are absolutely touched up by the Doggies. The Roosters lost to the Dogs, and the Roosters could be out of the eight this weekend if they lose.
Yeah, no, they could be.
And they've got the Panthers next weekend.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I think Brad Arthur, he was absolutely ropeable with the way that his team prepared. You know, they had 5 days off. There's no excuses for not doing that. They just thought they'd rock up and get the 2 points against the Bulldogs. And also, the Roosters, you know, I know they're trying and they're playing some good football, but the game was on the line last week. I think Tupanua made a mistake there where it could have just turned the game a little bit. Mate, this is a hard one. Look, I'm going to go with the Eels only because they're playing at CommBank Stadium.
What about the battle of the caretaker coaches on Sunday afternoon? Bulldogs versus West Tigers, Mick Potter and Brett Kinwally. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I like the Bulldogs. I like the way they played. And last week, what they did, which I don't see them do much, they threw the ball around. They played expansive style of rugby league. You know, they played a bit of second phase play. Avarillo was unbelievable. The intercept he took last week was great. But also, Matt Burton, he's an absolute superstar. Like, I just love the way that he's playing in the Fox. So, the Tigers, Brett Kinwally, Welcome to NRL coaching, mate. I wasn't too happy last week. There won't be much in this, but I just like the way the Bulldogs are playing on their style of football and the confidence they'll take from that game last week at ANZ there, or at Accor Stadium. That'll do them wonders for the club because all their fans now, they're all getting chirpy. My mates are going, here come the finals, here come the finals.
Gee whiz. And that's it for today's podcast. For more of the show, you can catch us live on the radio tomorrow from 4 p.m. on Triple M.